بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Are you guys awake? بسم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. That's more like it, الحمد لله. First of all, I would like to say to everyone who attended tonight, congratulations and جزاكم الله خيرا. Obviously, the attendance today is less, and that was expected because of the rain. However, when I looked around, I was reminded of an amazing story. The story of one of the greatest companions of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma made a decision at a very young age. He said to one of his friends, and he was only a teenager at the time, he said, look around us. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're abundant, they're everywhere. Let's go to them and learn from them. Let's take the knowledge that they have, the knowledge of the Quran and knowledge of the Sunnah. Let's learn from them while we have the opportunity and while they're here. His friend said to him, who needs us to learn knowledge now? Because they're there, they have the knowledge. There's no need for us to spend the time now at a young age. We'll learn later. When the people need to take from us, we'll learn and we'll teach the people. But Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, even though he was very young, he understood this was an opportunity. An opportunity in front of me to come and take advantage of it. And that's what all of you have done tonight. May Allah bless all of you. Even though the weather, subhanAllah, it's not the best. We're all concerned, is it going to rain? Is this? But it's an opportunity to come and to enlighten myself and to benefit. Perhaps we will not find another opportunity to come together and learn like this. Perhaps the speakers in front of you, may Allah bless all of them and put, you know, barakah in their life, but perhaps they won't be here next year. Allahu alam. And we say, we wish we had come and benefited when we had the opportunity. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, he used to go and he would sit on the doorsteps of the companions, of the elder companions, and wait for them to come out. He would sit at the hot time of dhuhr. And all of us here in the Middle East and in the Khalij, in the Gulf, we know how hot it can be at the time of dhuhr. But out of respect, out of ihtiram, out of adab, he would come and he wouldn't knock on the door for them to come out to him. He would wait, knowing that they're coming out for Salat al-Asr. He would wait for them to come out. And when they would come out, they would be shocked. They would say, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you had said something to me, I would have come to you. Out of respect for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, this is not how we've been taught. We've been taught to come to the knowledge. We've been taught to come to the knowledge. And alhamdulillah, that's what all of you did tonight. You came to benefit and to learn something from your deen and to be enlightened, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah put barakah and blessings in this evening, ya Rabbil Alameen. And if we really want to learn, my brothers and sisters, even though the wasa'il, the different forms of technology that we have help us, it doesn't replace the asl. The origin is that we sit with the scholars, that we sit with the students of knowledge and the du'at, and we benefit from them directly. And that is the reason, wallahi, the only reason I continue to travel is because I know that the true blessings and true barakah, that they are in sitting with my brothers face to face. Otherwise, we can sit in our living rooms and we get more views on social media most of the time than we get of the attendees in a lecture. But this is the true blessing, is that we come together and we learn together, inshallah ta'ala. As for the topic tonight, I want you all to imagine and take a second to imagine this. What is it that you want in Jannah? And now take a few seconds as well to imagine and ask yourself, what is it that you want from the dunya, from this life? Now imagine if you could have both of them, the best of both worlds. You could obtain all that you want in this life and then obtain all that you want in the hereafter in Jannah. Is that even possible? Most Muslims believe that in order for me to reach the high levels of the Jannah, or to even reach Jannah, that I have to live miserably in this dunya. Meaning I can't enjoy anything from this life. I can't have fun. I'll be restricted. I won't really enjoy life. But alhamdulillah, it's for Jannah, so I'll go through some difficulties and live in hell in the dunya, so I don't live in hell in the hereafter. But is this the true understanding of Islam? Does Islam really restrict us from being able to enjoy and benefit from the pleasures of this life that we live? If we want to obtain the pleasure of the hereafter, that means we have to leave the pleasures of this life. We have to live miserably. Is this what Islam teaches us? Many Muslims, this is how they think. Even if they don't think like this, on their tongues and their actions, it shows up. I can't enjoy life if I want to be a practicing Muslim. And that's why I want to focus on this topic tonight. After we talked yesterday about establishing the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because after we establish that relationship, one of the main obstacles that's going to come between us and practicing our religion is this idea that we can't enjoy the dunya. Because all of us want to live good. All of us want to enjoy some of the pleasure of the dunya. And we think that if we're going to practice our faith, we're going to be missing out. So how can we determine if this is a correct outlook, a correct view or not? We have to go back to where? Go back to the Quran and to the Sunnah. We need to look, what did Allah say? What did our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? Not what we hear from the people. And this is very important, this principle. Always going back to the Quran and to the Sunnah. To understand directly from Allah and from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and to understand this according to the way that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood it. Many of the misconceptions spread about Islam, it's the misconceptions people have. It's their understanding. But when we sit down with them and we show them what Islam says, what Allah says in the Quran, then they understand. This is what we need to do as Muslims, even when we deal with non-Muslims as well. I remember a couple of years ago, I met a non-Muslim here who, he doesn't really like Muslims, but he likes the fact that he gets paid well by the Muslims living here. Huh? So subhanAllah, he said, khalas, finally I found it. I found it. You've been ordered in the Quran to kill us all. Allahu Akbar. Huh? He said, you've been ordered in the Quran to kill all of the non-Muslims. So without even having to go back to the Quran, I thought of something right away. And I asked him, how many years have you been living here with us as the Muslims in this country? He said, I've been here for 8 years. I said, how many times have we tried to kill you thus far? Other than our driving. Huh? We're driving, I mean, maybe a couple of times a day, bismillah, alhamdulillah. But you're still alive. Other than the driving, how many times have we tried to kill you? He stopped. It's like none. I said, don't you think if it was a command from Allah that we would have at least tried at least once or twice in 8 years? He said, I guess you're right, huh? Alhamdulillah. And then we went back to the Quran and showed him and explained to him the meaning of the ayat that he misunderstood. And showed him what Allah says in the Quran about this. So when it comes to this issue of the dunya and being able to benefit from the dunya or be able to enjoy the life that we live in, I want to mention an ayah to you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and commands us, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاكُ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And to benefit from what Allah has given you, to obtain in the hereafter. And then Allah says, and don't forget your portion of the dunya. Don't forget your portion of this life. What is the meaning of this ayah? When you go back to the books of tafsir, there's actually two meanings that the scholars mention. The first is the jamhur, the majority of the scholars, and they said that what's meant by this ayah is that you take the opportunity that you have in order to prepare for the hereafter. Another tafsir is that Allah is telling us, yes, prepare for the hereafter, but don't forget to enjoy this life that you're living in as well. Enjoy the pleasure of the life. Talking about in halal. in the halal fashion, stay away from haram, but enjoy the halal things that Allah has given you. And some scholars, when they looked at this tafsir, they said, actually, both tafsirs are correct. And this is the correct opinion. That we're supposed to take advantage of the time we have in order to prepare for the hereafter. But at the same time, we can enjoy the pleasures of this life as well. We don't have to forbid ourselves. And when you look into the teachings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was talking about al-kibr, pride and arrogance, and he said that whoever has mithqala dharra, an atom's weight of kibr in his heart, that he will not enter into the Jannah. He will not enter into the paradise. This is very concerning for many of the Sahaba who heard this. But the benefit from the Sahaba, when they didn't understand something, they would ask. And this is how we need to be as Muslims. When we don't understand something, we go to some of our teachers or to our scholars and we ask them, what is the meaning of this? Explain to us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked by this Sahabi, he said, but an individual likes that his clothes look nice and he has nice shoes. He likes to dress up and look good, which many of us like. Many of us want this in life. We want to look good. So is this being arrogant? Is this having pride? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. That indeed Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. And he explained that arrogance, it's batr al-haqq wa ghamt al-nas, that it's rejecting the truth and looking down on people, belittling people. This is arrogance. But if you want to look good, there's nothing wrong with that in Islam. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Inna Allah yuhibba an yara athar ni'mati ala abdi, that Allah loves to see His blessings upon His servant. Meaning, if you're well off, you're not supposed to go around looking like a bum. You're supposed to be someone who looks good. So there's nothing wrong with this in Islam. In fact, if we go back to the question that I asked you, and I said, imagine if you could have anything in the dunya that you wanted. Most people, what came to our mind right away? Most of us, we would like a nice big house in a nice neighborhood, Beverly Hills, or maybe a bit less, we could take, no problem. Huh? We would like to have a nice car, maybe a new wife, huh, brothers? Be careful, because she's thinking the same thing, new husband, huh? If she could exchange you, maybe she would, bismillah. So don't be too much of a hurry, huh? It's a two-way street. Huh? And so this is the basic things that we would want. Amazing hadith of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, arba min as-sa'ada, that four things bring happiness. And what are the four things? The first thing that he mentioned was the pious wife, or the pious spouse. So alhamdulillah, if you've been blessed with the pious wife, go home and kiss her head tonight and say to her, Jazakallah khair, thank you, and may Allah bless you. And the same thing for you, sister. The greatest blessing, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the other hadith, is the mar'a saliha, to have a pious wife. The second thing he mentioned in this hadith is ad-dar al-wasi', to have a big house. And the third thing is to have a good neighbor, meaning you live in a good neighborhood. And the fourth thing is al-markab al-hani, to have a nice ride. So if you want to have a nice car, alhamdulillah, Islam allows that. It doesn't forbid us from having these things. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these four things bring happiness. And he mentioned four things that bring unhappiness. And he said the opposite. If you have a spouse who's not pious, if you live in a small house, if you have a bad neighbor and you don't have a good ride, you have that car that you have to jump start every day, you have to call some brothers to push your car so you can jump start it. That's not a good situation to be in. You have a nice ride, you have a nice house, you're comfortable. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to help us focus on getting to the hereafter. We're supposed to take these things as tools to benefit us to get to the hereafter, not to distract us from the hereafter. This is the difference in Islam. Islam teaches us that we're allowed to have these things, we can enjoy these things, but don't let it distract you. Don't let it distract you from the dunya. Don't let it distract you from preparing for the hereafter. MashaAllah, we're very active tonight with the flights. Allahu Barak. When we look into the dua of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would combine through make us. And he told him, you can give a third. Wa thuluth kathir. He said, you can give one third, but that's a lot. It's even better to give less than that. Make sure your family is well off after your death. One of the life coach gurus that all of us know, and perhaps many of us have benefited from, which is Tony Robbins. And many of his things are very beneficial. I benefited from a lot of his books that I read and a lot of the things that I've heard. He mentioned something about financial independence. And what is financial independence? He said that you have to look at your monthly expenses and you have to make sure that you have that at least 6 months of it in your bank account at all times as a cushion. Because as they say that if you were to lose your job or have to find a new job, it usually takes about 6 months to find a new job and to get into that new job. So you need that cushion of financial independence, that if you're not comfortable with your job, that you can say, you know what, I resign and you look for a new job. You have 6 months in the bank at least. So if you had your expenses each month were 20,000 reals, for example, you have at least 120 at all times in the bank account. A hadith which is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the money that would come to him from Khaybar, he would take it alayhi salatu wasalam and make sure that his family was taken care of for the entire year. He made sure the expenses of his family were taken care of for the entire year, and the rest he would give a sadaqah alayhi salatu wasalam. He would give a sadaqah for things in the path of Allah. So here we have this life coach guru in our time saying 6 months cushion, and we have the example from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam making sure his family had a year worth of expenses taken care of. This is what Islam teaches us. My dear brothers and sisters, when we look into the Quran, we look into the Sunnah, we see that what we mentioned in the beginning, that many Muslims have a misunderstanding of their faith, thinking that they cannot enjoy things of life. If I'm going to practice, that means khalas, I'm going to be forbidden from everything. I'm not going to be able to enjoy life, and that's far from the truth. As we saw last night, some of the things, the brothers didn't give us much time. The Aussie, where is he at now? Huh? He cut us off. He wouldn't let us tell about our daredevil experiences. And many of the things that even us as du'at and from the shuukh that we enjoy when we travel and we with our brothers. Perhaps many of you have seen Mufti Mink jumping out of the plane. You've seen him bungee jumping. Many of the things that we do, we enjoy. I remember when we were in Singapore, myself, Mufti Mink, and Dr. Muhammad Salah. We're looking for something to do, so they told us about the slingshot. Mufti, he said, I've done it before, so you guys go. He's with his wife. So me and Sheikh Muhammad Salah, we went with another brother. So basically what this is, it's a, they put you on, like, it's on bungee cords, and it's a seat, two or three people, and it shoots you up into the air, about 100 meters into the air. So as I sat down, there's a little harness here, and I asked the guy, I said, should we hold on to this? He said, no, only the women hold on. But I'll tell you, once it shoots in the air, brothers, you're going to hold on too. You have to grab it. It's scary. You go up in the air. But after you, obviously, and you enjoy it. And I think it was pretty interesting because the people gathered around. Because then you jump 60 meter free fall and to an 88 meter swing after that. And it's like 18 meters above the football pitch. And it's 352 steps all the way to the top of this football stadium that they built for the World Cup in 2010. And now people jump off of it. On the bottom, they teach you, you have to take a big step, and they put you on this little platform to kind of get used to it. And we were talking to the South Africans that were there. And one of my students who had just got married, I'm sure his wife still loves me for this, he said, Sheikh, I want to go with you. We did the course about the 99 names of Allah. He said, I want to jump with you. I've always wanted to do it. So he was inspired by his teacher to go and jump off 108 meters, even though he was only married for 2 weeks. So as we were talking to the South African locals on the bottom, I said, haven't you noticed that the only people who do this are us, the white people? And if it's an Asian person or a black person, usually they have a white friend. So they were laughing. They said, yeah, it's true. It's usually you guys who jump. So as we were saying this, there was a black guy from Holland who walked in. And they looked. They said, oh, he's by himself now. And a few seconds later, his two white friends come in behind him. Huh? I said, I told you, it's just us who do this. Huh? So some of them, she said, this is our midlife crisis. So we got up on the platform. I was brave. No, I was scared. Eventually I jumped. It was probably the worst experience I can imagine. I can tell you the feeling in the beginning until you start to swing a bit, then it felt good. The point is, you can see it on my Instagram on the bottom, you'll see it from 2013. The point is that it's okay to enjoy yourself. Just because you're somebody who is religious, you're practicing, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. And this is the point I wanted to mention. And as I end, just Two quick things. As we enjoy life, we need to make sure that the enjoyment of this life doesn't distract us from the hereafter. And we need to make sure that at the same time, as we're enjoying life, and especially when we live in a society like this where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us from the risk and opened up things for us and everything is easy. Subhanallah. Life is very, very easy here and we're very comfortable. May Allah bless this country and bless those who are in charge here and the things who have made things so easy for us. Subhanallah. We need to constantly remind ourselves that even when we're enjoying life, that we don't let it distract us from the main objective, which is to live in the and to strive for the hereafter. I'll end with a quote by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhum, who said that you should live in this life as you were to live, as if you were going to live forever. Live in this life as if you were going to live forever. And at the same time, he said, live like you're going to die tomorrow when it comes to the Akhirah. You think about your Akhirah like today is my last day, because this is the reality, it could be your last day. So I prepare myself constantly. But at the same time, I strive to excel in my worldly affairs and what I'm doing in this life like I'm going to be here forever. And once we have this understanding, we're going to find more pleasure in our practice of Islam. And we're going to find more pleasure and our focus in the hereafter. And more pleasure and putting Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of our desires, in front of everything else. And Allah knows best. Allahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.